Good morning. It is always a joy to have you with us for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor. And we just so appreciate the testimonies that we're able to share on this broadcast all throughout the course of our week. Last time we were together, we had the opportunity to hear from Ann Dreisbach, one of our missionary staff who is serving in Suriname, South America. And Ann, you were sharing with us how the Lord got you through nursing school, even though the supervisor at first rejected you, saying, too petite, and everything else looked great, but she just didn't think you could make it. Well, surprise, surprise, you made it and have been serving as a nurse for how many years?
Well, I graduated from nursing school in 1969, and it's 2017 now.
Yeah, all right.
So however many years that is.
Praise God, 7,000 years.
Huh? Right. That's right.
So upon graduation then, you also shared with us that at an early age, you felt that God was calling you to be single, to serve him on a mission field single. Now, was there ever a time that you were questioned by other people about that? Like, how can you possibly consider going to maybe dangerous countries and be single?
I don't know that I was ever really questioned over that because I was raised as a missionary kid in Nigeria and Benin, West Africa. And in both of those countries, there have been quite a number of faithful, faithful single missionaries that were single, both men and women. And when you look into mission history, beginning way back in Bible times until today, there have been many, many single missionaries who have left their footprints in the sands of missionary history.
Right. I know we had a missionary, a single lady by the name of Marjorie Tatter in Chad, Africa, that left our church as a school teacher. God called her to missions in a missions conference. And then when I became the pastor there, she said, well, Pastor Huffman, you'll be visiting me, I'm sure, very soon. And she just had a way about her, and soon I was visiting her in Chad. And I got over there, and she says, now, if I die, you'll have to come over here and identify the body.
Uh-oh.
She was just an amazing lady. But, yes, she served the Lord all throughout her years as a single lady, but very highly revered. And so that's part of God's plan for her and for you.
I think that in some societies, a single woman is looked at as maybe a freak and not accepted. What has certainly helped in my situation is that I am a healthcare provider, and I'm the one that has delivered their babies and cared for them, been by their side in times of need and buried their dead, and they see that I am a person of personality, of character.
Right.
And value, I have something to offer, and that is what has really helped.
The esteem and respect rises when they see just a love for people and a love for your God.
That's right.
Right. So you graduated from nursing school and knew right away where you were going to be going?
Yes. Even from the time that I was 6 years old in the boarding school for missionary children, I believed that God meant for me to work in Africa. To work amongst the Africans.
Okay.
And so I began my deputation in January of 1975. I guess I need to add that in between graduating from nursing school in 1969, I did go ahead and get a university degree.
Okay.
Then I went to Scotland and I studied nurse midwifery.
Oh, yeah.
And also studied neonatology because I wanted to be well prepared for missionary service.
Right.
And then in 1975, January of that year, I began deputation, and then I left for language school in July of the same year. But then something happened. It was a test. I became quite ill while I was in Switzerland with a questionable diagnosis.
I see.
I was in several different hospitals and finally had to be evacuated back to the United States. And, of course, my heart was torn because the only thing that I had ever wanted to be was a missionary, and it seemed like that door was going to close, and I wondered, how could I have believed that I was to be a missionary if I was too frail to go to the field? And I can remember sitting on the front steps of our home in Greenville, South Carolina, having my devotions, and the Lord gave me a couple verses that assured me that God really did mean for me to serve him on the mission field. One of those verses was Psalms 42:7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. And then Isaiah 43:2-3 say, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee.
Right.
And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And that was my assurance that I was going to make it through that fire.
Right.
And then Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And I had been planning to go to the Sahara Desert. And here God in his word says, I will make a way in the wilderness,
right,
rivers in the desert, which to me was an indication that there was going to be the living water, and there was going to be fruit there in the desert, and I was going to be able to have a part in it. And that gave me confidence and courage to know that I would get well and that I would be able to go on to the mission field.
Do you see the hand of God during these hard times enabling you to have a ministry to other people, not just in the area of the physical, but also just sharing with other folks? Let me tell you who God is, who I learned God to be from his word during my hard times, so that when they're going through hard times, you have a testimony.
That's right. I can share with them my hard times, which helps them to see that they're not the only one going through the hard times.
Sure.
And also to show them the power that is in God's word, and how it's not a book that just sits on the coffee table during the week or up on a shelf, but as we let the word of God sink deeply into our hearts and into our lives, it's there to guide us in those times of need.
Right. And sometimes he has to set us aside to give us time to be more in the word, doesn't he?
That's true.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Psalm 23, he maketh me to lie down,
right,
in green pastures. We don't lie down very well. You know, we're always running and doing, and we've got schedules. And the Lord says, okay, time for you to lie down. Oh, but Lord, no. Time for you to lie down.
That's right.
So when we recognize the hand of God in our lying down times, then we recognize that that's really when we begin to understand truly who God is.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So after your illness was finally dealt with, then you went back.
I was able to go on to Niger Republic and began my missionary career in the northernmost inhabited oasis in Niger Republic near the Algerian border. I can tell you a story from that era.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be a blessing to you who are in the listening audience. At one point, we were moved over to an area near the Mali border. And one day, my coworker and I were alone at home. My parents were gone when desert policemen arrived on camels. And they informed us that there was a lady who had delivered early that morning out on the desert, but the afterbirth had not been delivered yet, and they wanted to know if we would come and help. And so we collected some supplies, and we went out with the desert police. They did provide a jeep for us. We didn't have to ride the camels.
Okay.
And we were taken out to this little encampment where a family lived in a goatskin tent that was not any bigger than a card table.
Wow.
If the lady laid down, her head and her feet were outside the tent.
My.
And they had the lady squatting over a hole and had put bracelets onto the end of the umbilical cord, thinking that the weight would help to bring out the afterbirth.
Right, right.
And there were flies, there were mosquitoes, there were children, there were goats, there were camels, there were people all watching the show.
Oh, my goodness.
But in the end, we had to do what is called a manual removal of the afterbirth. And this is a very, very scary thing to have to do, especially out on the desert sand.
Sure.
And we were able to help that lady. And a couple days later, she actually walked all the way into the little village where we lived and came to the clinic and thanked us.
My goodness.
And I am reminded of how it is God who strengthens our hands. First of all, I'm reminded from a story of Nehemiah, where Sanballat was practicing against Nehemiah, who was attempting to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And Nehemiah said, "For they all made us afraid, saying, 'Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done.' Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." And I can certainly say over the years that God has strengthened my hands.
Right.
Then I remember in Job, where Satan was talking to God, and he said, "Hast not thou made a hedge about him?" Talking about Job.
Right.
"And about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." And I can say over and over and over again throughout my missionary career, as a healthcare provider, God has indeed blessed the work of my hands.
Right. We have a midwifery student that comes to our home Sunday afternoons, and she's helped deliver almost 100 babies in less than a year here in the Milwaukee area. But her dad bought her a bumper sticker for her car. It says, "Midwives help people out."
That is really cute.
So that's exactly what the midwifery school helped you to do, you know, just putting everything together, because God knew what you were going to be facing. And of course, you know, growing up in Africa and your dad being a doctor, he, I'm sure, gave you a lot of good advice, like, "Okay, now, Anne, you need this, and you're going to need that, and need that." And but it's really neat to see how you knew what God wanted you to be, and so therefore it was, you kind of like set your face like a flint.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And folks that are listening to us this morning may be feeling like, yes, I feel like I know what God wants me to be and do, but boy, it's really going to be tough, and it's going to be a long, long row to hoe, so to speak. Your word to them is?
Keep on keeping on.
Amen. There you go. Well, folks, we've run out of time again today, but I trust that these times have been words of encouragement to you. When you know God's will, do it. Do it completely. Do it without advisement, because God doesn't need our advice. He just needs our compliance. So however God is leading you today, submit yourself to Him, to His Word. You've heard how much Scripture has been quoted in these last two sessions. Bury yourself in the Word of God. Allow it to bathe your heart and mind, and it will give you the design for God and the path for your life. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.